If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Our text this morning is verses 5 through 9, but we'll begin reading in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You may be seated and let us pray. Ask for the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, as Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration. Is God breathed? You have breathed it out by your Spirit. You have given it to us and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we thank you, Lord, for this portion of that equipping word that you grant unto us, the call for us, to the reminder that we are all bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we are employers, those in authority, or whether we are under the authority of another, we are all called to serve you. And so we pray that you would help us in that, to better understand and better put into practice, to follow your lead, to obey you, to desire to seek to serve you. And so we pray for that work of your Spirit even now, that you, Holy Spirit, would come and that you would impart this word planted deep within us and grant unto us that we may bear the fruit, a 30-fold, a 60-fold, a 100-fold fruit of this seed of your word, that truly you would be honored and glorified in and through us. Bless us, we pray, in order that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, take a moment and hold up your hand. Hold up your hand in front of you. Look at it. Now, what I want you to do is to try to touch your smallest finger to your thumb. Just do that. Thank you. Do you know how many things had to be in place? How many aspects of mechanical, biological, electronics, the different nerves, all the things that transpired from hearing my word and my instruction to your brain sending a message to your hand, to you having the control and dexterity to be able to do that? What a miraculous, amazing thing you just did. If you were to try to recreate this in a laboratory, how expensive, how many millions of dollars in equipment and all you would have to put together to be able to do just that, apart from your body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this hand that we have with the opposing thumb and all is an amazing creation of God. So much so that in the Jewish mindset, in the mindset of the Old Testament, the word for hand, yod, is also the word that was used when you wanted to describe power. When you were talking about the ability to do something, you said yad. You used that term. And so the hand, which enables you to do many, many things that you would not be able to do without it, is the power or ability that God has given you. What's interesting also in Hebrew, even your arm is another symbol of power, and so is your shoulder. So your hand, your arm, your shoulder, that whole being, aspect of your being that you take for granted, all of those were understood by the ancients as a symbol of the ability to do things. But why is it that God has given you a hand that is able to do amazing things? Now, I'm not asking you why does it happen via, explain to me the mechanics of how it happens. I'm talking about the purpose. What is the purpose? What is God's purpose for creating this ability? The answer you probably would be able to say, right? Well, it's to serve him, right? That's the obvious answer. To serve him and to serve his purposes for you. He created this because I am a servant of God. This is a tool. This is what God has given me to be able to serve him, just like the rest of my body, just like my mind, all that I have and all that I am. I'm here to serve you. To serve the Lord. But does everybody believe that? Everybody in the world, would they say the same thing, that this hand exists to serve God? A number of years ago, and for me it's frightening because it's getting to be many years ago, in 1979, Bob Dylan wrote a song. It was during this time where he was flirting with Christianity. And during that time, he wrote this song, and the title of it, You're Gonna Have to Serve Somebody. Chorus is, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. And in the song, he says things like, you may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with long strings of pearls, but you've got to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion. You may be living in a dome. You may own guns. You might even own tanks. You might be someone's landlord. You might even own banks, but you got to serve somebody. He's saying whatever your calling is, doesn't matter who you are, you ultimately have to serve somebody. What I found interesting is that I got those, I found those lyrics on a YouTube video. And on the YouTube video, Dylan is actually performing that song in front of thousands of people. And the thing that struck me as I was watching, the camera was on the people as they were enjoying this song. And the thing that struck my heart is most of those people are serving the devil. And so they were rejoicing in the song. You got to serve someone. You can serve the devil or you can serve the Lord. And as I was thinking, my heart was just breaking that so many of them were rejoicing in serving the devil, even though they might have been thinking they're serving the Lord. So, we are servants. Dylan was right. He wasn't a philosopher or a theologian, but he was right. Serving someone is inescapable. That's right in the outline. The question of what matters is who you serve, why you serve, and how you serve. That's the matter. Service is unavoidable. Your identity and even your destiny is tied to the one you serve. So, who do you consciously serve and why do you do it? That's what we're going to try to address today. Paul begins in verse 9 speaking about bondservants. And so we're going to be looking at what it is to be a slave or a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, just a reminder, this is the context. We are looking at a letter of grace with an emphasis on following Jesus that the Apostle Paul wrote chapters 1 through 3, the focus is on being seated with him. And then chapters 4 and 5 and now into 6, walking with him or walking in him. And then we will be looking at the third section, which is standing for him, beginning, Lord willing, next week. In particular, we noted in chapter 5 and in verse 15, Paul, in his exhortations for us to walk, 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 he says, then see then that you walk accurately or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in the Spirit, he says. Walk in being controlled under the controlling influences of the Spirit, and walk in submission to the Lord. And so that is the context of our passage this morning. As you turn to it, in chapter 6 and verses 5 through 9, one of the problems sometimes in our English translations is that we lose a point every so often by the translator. One of the things that is lost in our translation today is the word master and the word Lord in our passage. In verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. Verse 7, goodwill doing service as to the Lord. In the Greek, it's the same word. And so the word is kurios, or Lord, and it's used 5 times in this passage. In other words, Paul is saying, slaves, servants, you have 2 masters. You have 2 lords. You have your master, your Lord, and then you have the Lord. Oh, and you masters, you lords, you have a Lord that you serve. And so we all, no matter what your calling is, are servants or bondservants of the Lord. We have the same Lord. We are all his servants. Though some may be called to reflect that authority of Lord, yet even they are servants. Psalm 24 is a fascinating psalm declaring that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness, that is everything that is in it, belongs to him. The world and those who dwell therein. He has created all things and he claims sovereign authority over all things. And if you note at the very end, it ends with the goal, which is the glory of the King. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He's the King who is glorified in creation, in his sovereign providence or rule over creation. All things have been committed to the Lord, or I should say, committed into the hands of Christ Jesus our Lord, and he is declared as the one who now reigns over heaven and earth. He himself declared that, did he not, after his resurrection? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Jesus Christ reigns right now. He is the Lord. He is the one that rules over everyone. Yes, there are those who are in rebellion against his rule, the devil or Satan or the adversary, or you could say the usurper. And it is true that there are those on the earth today that serve him. And so Dylan was right. You will serve someone. Though you think you may be the Lord of all, you will serve someone. You can serve the devil or you can serve the Lord, but it says, notice what he says, you're gonna have to. I thought that was interesting. You're gonna have to serve someone. It's not an option. You will do it. The question is, who will you yield your members to? Who will you yield your hands to? Who as Paul says in this passage, will you yield your heart to? Who will you yield your time to? Who will you yield your talents to? Which Lord will you serve? Is it Satan or is it the Savior? Is it the Lord? That is an important question. That is a heaven and hell, life and death kind of question, is it not? Who is your Lord and Master? We are all bondservants. Are you a rebellious one or an obedient one? Where, who do you serve? My second point, that first point was, remember who you're working for, who you serve. Secondly, remember why you are here in the first place. You probably know this. We've said it before, but it is amazing to stop and think about it. The reason that you exist, the reason that God created you, was for glory. For His glory. You exist for the glory of God. For the revelation of God. For the honor of God. The reason that He created your hands and gave you the abilities to do is for His glory. Your hand exists for the glory of God. Your arm exists for the glory of God. Your body exists for the glory of God. Your mind exists for the glory of God. He created you in His image to reveal Himself. What is God like? Many aspects of God are revealed in mankind. Many of the abilities that we take for granted and then we enjoy are image bearers' abilities that reflect Him and reveal Him. Why are you here in the first place? Because He put you here. For His purpose. If you have repented of your rebellion against Christ, and we all were born rebels against Christ, and if you have repented, if you have believed, if you have trusted in His redemption of you through His life, that is Christ's life and death on the cross and His resurrection, then you are to reflect that which Christ has done. You are His servant, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, freed from the bondage and the slavery to Satan, to sin, and the world. And so you are to reflect that relationship that you have, that household relations. If you are a child of God, if you are adopted into His family, then your life should reflect that family relationship. And as we've been looking at chapters 5 and 6, we've been noting, we haven't said it this way, but in many ways, that is what Paul has in mind in chapter 5 when he talks about wives and husbands. How is a household established in a marriage? And furthermore, in chapter 6, children are the fruit of that household, is it not? And furthermore, in our text today, as Paul is speaking of slaves or servants or bondservants and masters in his mind in the time, in the first century, that was household. In a sense, what we're talking about now is economics. The word economics comes from the Greek word household. It's the law of the house. It's how the house maintains itself. The economics we are normally think about is on a massive scale, macroeconomics, dealing with nations or the world. But on a local level, right, on your home, there is a economics that you must master for you to be able to continue as a household, as a family. And so Paul has been describing how to walk with wisdom in the Spirit being led by the Spirit in households, in aspects of your household. So here, that household is filled with children who are also bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are freed to serve. Right? Before, we were bound to serve someone else, but now we're freed to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Paul says, we are the Lord's freedmen, freed to serve from the heart. Notice that in verses 5 and verse 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service or as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The work of the Holy Spirit is to remove a stony heart from us and to place in us a heart of flesh, a heart that seeks God, that loves the Lord, that loves to serve Him, a thankful heart. Notice that. The primary calling of a servant of Christ is from the heart, serving Him, loving Him, pleasing Him. That's what it's all about. And so, how are we to do so? And that's what Paul does, gives us a lot of how-tos in our passage today. So our third point, remember what is required of stewards or managers or servants. Although, like I said, the context here is slaves in the household in the first century, we can employ this, we can use this passage or understand this passage in the 21st century in other ways. For example, some of you are employees. You work for a boss. You work for a supervisor. Well, this passage, I think, applies to you. Some of you are employers. You have others that you do work. You get work accomplished through other people. Some of you are students. You are serving in that capacity. Some of you are teachers or administrators. Again, I believe this passage applies. Some of you are, I don't have anyone here today, but I was expecting someone to be here today that was enlisted in the military. And they are under those that are in other authority. There's officers and even other non-coms. There's different ways that we function as though under authority in the day-to-day work world, life world, and there are some that also exercise authority as supervisors, as managers, and others. And so this passage, I think, does apply and is helpful for us. So let's consider what Paul had to say and how are we to be as servants, bondservants of Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. The first thing he says the same thing. He says to children, bondservants, obey those who are your lords, who are your masters, according to the flesh. You have two masters, one in heaven and one on earth. And how are you to be obedient? He says. Notice he doesn't give you a list of things to do as far as technical things to do, but he focuses in on what? The heart. Obey them with fear and trembling. In other words, make your care conscious. Make it a conscious care. As you are serving as an employee, take into consideration your employer. In most businesses, an employee must render in some way, shape, or form a positive benefit for the employer economically in order for that employer to keep that employee employed. Does that make sense? Now, there are some employees that not necessarily you profit from, but their work benefits the overall organization to be able to bring in a profit, right? But there is a benefit nonetheless. You are beneficial to the company, and if you're not, then they will let you go. So what is one of the ways that you serve? Well, with respect, with fear and trembling, being conscientious in the work that you're called to do. Notice he says, another thing he says, with sincerity or singleness or simplicity of heart. In other words, a sincere obedience. Not a, okay, I'm going to obey, but I'm going to grumble behind my boss's back about what a jerk he is. And I'm going to hang around with other coworkers and complain about how rotten the boss is and how I only do it because I have to, and if I don't, I get fired. In other words, he says, let your service be undivided. For why? Because you serve Christ. Notice that. In sincerity or simplicity of heart, as if you were serving Jesus Christ. That's a hard, that's sometimes a hard thing to conceptualize, right? When you have a bad boss. To say, I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ when this idiot doesn't know what he's doing and he's telling me to do something which is really wrong even. How do I respectfully decline when it's against the Bible as well? How do I show respect? How do I honor this individual or these individuals or upper management that, again, sometimes seem to not know what they're doing? How do I honor them? As unto Christ, because Christ has placed that person in my life. Paul goes negative in verse 6, doesn't he? Don't serve with eye service. Do not serve so that the boss, or I should say when the boss is watching, right? When the boss is watching, you work a certain way. When the boss is not there that day, you work a different way. What Paul is saying is Christ's eyes are everywhere. When you serve, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees. There's no time when you are working, whatever you're doing as a student or, like I said, or as an employee, there's no time where he is absent. Not with eye service, as pleasers of men, but as one who pleases Christ. A bondservant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Second time, he drives that point home. That no matter what you are doing, the goal is to serve Christ from the heart. Again, I'm reminded of Brother Lawrence, if you've never read that little book that he wrote, where he found delight and joy in the monastery, worshiping God as he scrubbed the pots and the pans and as he cooked the meals. He wrote the little book called Practicing the Presence of God, and he says he felt closer to God in his calling as a dishwasher than he did in chapel singing the praises of God. He was doing it unto the Lord. He was doing it from the heart, not as men pleasers. But as servants, notice he goes positive again, as servants of Christ, verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Master, the Lord, and not to men. The whole inner man serving the Lord. How, if we grasp that, again, I'm thinking, as I look back and I think about some of the bosses that I had when I was working at various places in the banking industry or in computer industry, I had some pretty awful bosses. And it was at times very, very difficult to look and to say what this fellow is asking me to do right now, which is ludicrous. He's doing that. I think he's doing that so then he can look good. So that means I've got to work 48 hours straight to get this project done so that he looks good because, see, he told everybody that on Friday this deliverable will be there. And so my buddy and I are working through 2 days straight trying to get this product developed in 2 days. It's insane, so that he would look good. Now, I could, do you hear the flesh speaking there, right? You've never been in that kind of situation? Some of you, yeah. We know, we think we know. Paul says, no, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through this man, has called you to stretch you to glorify himself. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart. Not pleasing your boss. But he noticed what he says. Knowing, verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, notice that, we do good works that are acceptable, we will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free. Ultimately, the reward comes of grace. The reward comes from the Lord. The reward comes as a blessing from God. Notice also, verse 9, and you masters do the same thing to them. Again, I said that earlier. So masters, you are responsible before the Lord. Though you may be the owner of the business, though you may be the CEO, though you may be an independent person, yet you are still a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And we are called to serve those under our authority. As we consider our text, Paul speaks of that service unto the Lord no matter what the setting is. I'm reminded of various individuals in the Old Testament as I was preparing the sermon. My mind drifted to Joseph. My mind drifted to Daniel. And I thought upon them. Were they those that served with sincerity of heart to please the Lord? When you think of Joseph and this rotten situations that he was placed in. His own brothers sold him into slavery. He finds himself in Egypt in a foreign land serving Potiphar. And what does he do? He serves Potiphar, such that Potiphar gives him more and more responsibility. He is a faithful servant. And yet, he ends up in prison because of it. Because he's faithful to the Lord. I will not sin against God by doing this thing that is suggested. He ended up in prison. But what happened while in prison? He faithfully served in prison. He served the Lord in prison. When asked about his abilities to interpret dreams, he gives honor and glory to God. It's God is the one who reveals these things. It's not me. There's nothing special in me. It's God. Again and again, no matter what the situations that we see in his life, he served the Lord in those capacities. And it was through that service that his brothers and many others were saved. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save so many alive today. Again, think of Daniel. Imagine yourself. Daniel was just a young man, just a teenager, probably. 14, 15 years old, maybe younger. He's taken captive from Jerusalem, brought to a strange land. He's placed into a school system where the food is great. It's the same food that the king of the empire is eating. This is amazing. And what does he do? He says, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm serving the Lord. And he proposes a solution so that his guard would not lose his head. And what happened? The Lord blessed that, didn't he? But he was faithful in the small things. And God granted unto him great abilities, didn't he? And he was given more and more responsibilities over and over again. And yet his life was threatened because of his stand, his walk with God. He ended up in a lion's den. And yet God delivered him by his mercy. Beloved, we are called to serve in whatever capacity. Again, stop and think about in the first century, Paul is talking to slaves. And today we look upon slavery as an awful thing. Paul in our text doesn't say to bondservants, throw off the yoke of slavery, does he, in this text? He says, be content where you're at in your calling as a slave and serve your master in the capacity. Now, God did deal with slavery in the Roman Empire, and it was abolished over time. But notice that. Whatever your calling is, to serve the Lord in that, not, oh, I'll serve you, Lord, when you free me up, when you deliver me, when you do this, then I'll serve you. No, we are to serve the Lord in whatever calling, in whatever place we are at. It is required, again, of a steward, of a manager, of a servant to be found faithful. In conclusion, stop and consider your hand again, that amazing tool that God has placed in your possession, the abilities that you have. God calls you to use it, the power that he's given you for his glory and to enjoy him forever. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you, O Lord, for the hand, for the arm, for the shoulder, for our bodies, for the gifts that you've given to us, for the callings, for the families that you placed us in, for the employments, for the responsibilities, for the things that you have given to us, the multitude of blessings as servants to glorify you, ways and means to do so here on earth in this time. We know that this is preparatory for eternity. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have granted unto us various capacities. That we're not all the same. And that you are also changing us from glory to glory. You're maturing us. And we thank you for that work of your Spirit. And we pray that you would enable us to have that spirit of submission and obedience to your law word, to your Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Master and Lord. Help us to know what we are to do in particular on the day-to-days, how we are to use the abilities that you've given to us, the resources that are placed in our hands, in a proper way, in a good way, a way that would honor you. Help us, Lord, to know how to walk, how to conduct ourselves in our callings, in our professions, in our responsibilities. We pray that you would help us as those who have authority as well to properly exercise those responsibilities in a way that, again, would please you. For you are our Master. You are our Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for granting unto us the ability to serve you rather than to serve your enemy. And we pray, O Lord, that you would also enable us to be witnesses of you so that those who serve the enemy may be brought in subjection and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved. We ask, O Lord, for your blessing, we pray, in order to be a blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen.